In a crumbling America, the once mighty Taggart Transcontinental Railroad struggles against mounting government restrictions and cultural hostility toward achievement. Dagny Taggart, the company's operating vice president, fights to keep trains running while her brother James plays political games. She forms an alliance with Hank Reardon, a brilliant industrialist who has created a revolutionary metal stronger than steel. Together, they battle a system designed to punish excellence. When Reardon faces prosecution simply for selling his metal to a customer of his choice, he defiantly declares, "I do not recognize anyone's right to 1 minute of my life." Meanwhile, the country's most productive citizens mysteriously vanish one by one, leaving behind only the cryptic question, "Who is John Galt?" As economic conditions worsen, the government responds with increasingly draconian measures, freezing employment, production, and trade, turning the country into an economic prison while claiming to serve the public good. The disappearing industrialists haven't been kidnapped. They've gone on strike. Led by John Galt, they've withdrawn their minds from a world that demonizes their achievements while depending on their productivity. This strike of the mind inverts historical precedent. Instead of labor striking against capital, the creative minds driving production strike against a society that vilifies them while living off their efforts. The strikers retreat to Galt's Gulch, a hidden valley where they've built a society based on voluntary exchange and mutual respect. The novel's most radical aspect is its moral philosophy that inverts traditional ethics, arguing that selfishness, properly understood, is a virtue, while self-sacrifice is destructive. This isn't crude exploitation, but the principled pursuit of rational self-interest through productive work and voluntary exchange. Hank Reardon's character arc illustrates this transformation. He initially supports his ungrateful family out of duty, remains in a loveless marriage from obligation, and accepts unearned guilt for his desire for Dagny. His breakthrough comes when he realizes this moral code exploits his virtues to control him. In court, he declares, "I am proud of my ability to serve men, but I don't propose to be a sacrificial animal." The novel portrays conventional morality as a system where the unproductive control the productive through guilt, teaching that selfishness is evil, so the competent feel obligated to support the incompetent. Throughout the story, reason emerges as humanity's defining attribute and productive achievement as its proper expression. The heroes are engineers, inventors, and entrepreneurs who transform ideas into reality, the men of the mind. Dagny's railroad innovations, Reardon's metal, and Wyatt's oil extraction methods exemplify this ideal of rational productivity. In contrast, the villains rely on feelings, mysticism, or connections. Dr. Pritchett dismisses logic as an old-fashioned superstition, while James Taggart makes decisions based on who he knows rather than what he knows. In his climactic speech, John Galt declares, "Man's mind is his basic tool of survival. Life is given to you. The knowledge to sustain it is not." He traces humanity's progress from caves to skyscrapers through applied reason. For Rand, the creator's relationship to creation is sacred because it represents consciousness reshaping reality according to human values. This connection is symbolized by the dollar sign, which appears throughout as an emblem of the mind's creative power. Francisco Donconia delivers the novel's famous defense of money as the tool of exchange, which can't exist unless there are goods produced and men able to produce them. He challenges the notion that money is evil. Money is the product of virtue, but it will not give you virtue and it will not redeem your vices. Through this lens, wealth creation becomes not just practical, but moral. One of the novel's most striking aspects is its uncompromising stance. While most political philosophies seek middle ground between individual rights and collective needs, Rand rejects such compromises as morally incoherent. There are two sides to every issue, says one character, and one of them is wrong. Throughout the story, characters face pivotal choices. Reardon pressured to surrender patents for the public good, Dagny urged to accept government controls, and Francisco expected to maintain his business while secretly opposing the system. The novel presents a fundamental conflict between individualism and collectivism as opposing views of human nature. The collectivist worldview, represented by bureaucrats like Wesley Mouch, sees individuals as interchangeable parts in a social machine, valued only by their usefulness to others. The individualist perspective, embodied by Galt and his followers, sees each person as an end in themselves, with the right to their own life and happiness. This battle culminates when the government attempts to force Galt to become an economic dictator. When he refuses, they resort to torture, the ultimate expression that the individual must be sacrificed for the collective. Galt remains defiant. I will not help you preserve an illusion. The novel's resolution comes not through revolution, but through complete collapse of the collectivist system. Without the minds that kept it functioning, civilization halts as New York goes dark and transportation stops. Only then do Galt and his followers prepare to rebuild society on the principle of individual rights. 65 years after publication, Atlas Shrugged remains a cultural touchstone, with annual sales exceeding 100,000 copies. Its influence spans literature, economics, politics, and tech culture. Silicon Valley startups often mirror Galt's Gulch in their pursuit of unfettered innovation. Cryptocurrency advocates view their movement as embodying Rand's vision of financial independence. The concept of going Galt, withdrawing productive capacity in protest, has entered political discourse from tax policy to tech regulation. What explains this enduring appeal? The novel's unapologetic celebration of human potential resonates in an age of lowered expectations. In a world emphasizing collective action, Rand's focus on individual achievement speaks to those feeling their personal agency threatened. Dagny Taggart continues to inspire women in business leadership as a model of uncompromising competence. The novel's final image, John Galt tracing the dollar sign in the air, has become iconic, symbolizing that human greatness is possible, achievement deserves celebration, and societies that punish creators ultimately destroy themselves. What if the greatest act of rebellion is simply to create without apology? To build, innovate, and achieve excellence without seeking permission? This is Atlas Shrugged's enduring challenge. In a world increasingly dominated by permission structures and collective guilt, the novel's message remains relevant. When we condemn success, demonize profit, or demand that the exceptional subordinate to the mediocre, we diminish humanity rather than elevate it. True compassion comes not from forcing sacrifice, but from unleashing potential. When you create something valuable or solve a problem others couldn't, remember, you don't owe an apology for your achievement. The world needs creators who understand that excellence serves humanity precisely because it refuses to be sacrificed to it. The question isn't, who is John Galt? It's, are you brave enough to be him?